Psalm 100. I want to thank Pastor Mark and the staff. Last week I had an opportunity to take a day off. My days off are scheduled. And then while I'm away, I'm thinking about the church. Here we go. I have four things this morning on Thanksgiving. How many believe that we need to be thankful? And it's more than just one day a week. How many knows it needs to be a lifestyle? I don't thank God for the virus, but I thank God He's able to move it out of the way. Oh, that was pretty weak. Come on, how many believe He's able to move it? Amen. Come on, we need to be cheerful in this arena. Hallelujah. In Psalm 100, you there? I'm going to start at verse 4. Number one here, it's an invitation of thanksgiving. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Notice you enter His gates with thanksgiving. Today you entered into His house, and thanksgiving needs to be our portion. Hallelujah. I mean, Jose, when we get to heaven, I don't have any problem with anybody being thankful there. Do you? How about joyful? How about praiseworthy? But it needs to start now. It's an invitation. We have to take that invitation and enter with thanksgiving. You can start when you make it to the parking lot. The first person you meet's a greeter, true? How many of you can bless the greeter? How about thanksgiving all the way down the hall? And then when you make it in here, your attitude is one that, hey, I'm thankful. But it's the invitation of thanksgiving. In Psalm 50, verse 14 says this, offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay vows to the Most High. Psalm 92, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to His name, to the Most High. When God invites us into His presence, we need to be thankful. I mean, it was that we have something to thank Him about. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. I know that we'll be celebrating this week, maybe if you're with your own family or with friends, that we're thankful. But there's an invitation in that. When we enter into His presence, Lord, I thank You. You are the mighty God. You're the glorious King. It opens up those arenas. I'll get to that in a minute. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says this, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, it says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. How many of you can thank God for the Holy Ghost? I'm so thankful I have the Holy Ghost inside. In my devotion last night, it was like this. I get to spend time with the King of Kings. And in that I rejoice. That He'll come down and meet with me in my house, in my room, that I can have sweet fellowship. Lord, I invite You in. Hallelujah. I shared with the first service. I really want us to do this. Thanksgiving, obviously, is on Thursday. That's the day celebrated. All week long, I want you to think of somebody, call somebody, text somebody, and thank them for who they are. Will you do that? And most of all, thank for our King. My wife and I do this every single Thanksgiving, that before anybody shows up, anything goes on, we start listing things that we're thankful for. And ultimately, it comes into people. I thank You for them, Lord God. I thank You for touching their home and blessing their family and working this out. By the time we're done, there's an atmosphere of thanksgiving. How many will do that this week? You'll make a point of it. Amen? I mean, it's that the world needs to know that truly that we have a different Lord. Come on. It's like sometimes I think that a lot of believers think that we just got to endure everything going on. We need to pray for it. I shared on my early devotion on Wednesday with all these hurricanes going on that many times when it comes ashore, it spawns some tornadoes. And I was reading of this elderly couple that a tornado started to come towards their home. And the two got down and they prayed and they said, Lord, You said you'd protect us and take care of our home. And the tornado went up to the home, went up over top the home, came down on the other side and kept going. I mean, they weren't just accepting everything going on. Are you with me? And I looked at that and said, yeah, we need to speak to it. It's no different. Remember when Jesus was in the boat and the storm came up? If you look real close in Scripture, that storm was named, just like we name storms today. And for fishermen to be freaked out at a storm, it had to be pretty severe because they've been in more than one. I mean, understand that. But Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And notice what he said, oh, you of little faith. He wanted them to rebuke the storm. Because he told them, we're going over to the other side. If I'm sleeping, that's okay. I've left it into your care to make sure it happens. Oh, I'm preaching now. Amen. Let's stop just accepting everything that comes down the pike and start praying, believing God. Amen? And not just think about it after the fact. No, I'm going to come against this in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be proactive. Jesus was looking for one person in the boat to be proactive. And when he got up, you know what he did? He didn't even worry about the storm for a minute. He just said, oh, you of little faith. Notice he dealt with the root cause. Say amen. The church is operating in little faith today. We need to operate in much greater faith because we got Jesus in our boat. And the last time he told me, we're going to make it to the other side. Say amen. How many knows he'll never leave us or forsake us? He's in our boat, thank you, Jesus. The church may be battered, but it's the only thing afloat. And we're going to make it to the other side. Glory to God. Amen. I want to rewrite the script and be on the up there with the waves and say, in Jesus' name, peace be still. How many want to be with me there? I haven't say I've always been there, but I want to be there. Amen? If we really would have took, and I think Jesus really wanted this to come out, when he said, let us go over to the other side. That was the commanding word that was in operation. When there's a commanding word for God to do something, the enemy will always bring an onslaught in to try to hinder what God wants to do. But if his people stand firm in faith, you're going to get there because the word is backing you. Hallelujah. You got to get off the natural and look to the supernatural. Oh, that's good preaching today. Remember, I've had a week off, so hallelujah. Number two, the motivation of thanksgiving. Look at verse 5, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. That's all right, you can say it. For the Lord is good. You can say it. For the Lord is good. How many knows the Lord is good? His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures for all generations. Notice the motivation. The Lord is good. This week, get up and say, the Lord is good. And out of the mouth of babes, let every word be established. Glory to God. In Psalm 25, verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he'll teach sinners in the way. In Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Notice he's good. He's always good. Whenever the enemy tries to bring anything short of that, the Lord is always good. If he ever tries to paint a picture that's different, he's always good. Even if a believer tries to paint a different picture, he is always good. Hallelujah. Sometimes it may not work out just like the way you thought it, but it always works out for the best. Glory to God. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's something that we all have to face until one day that's eradicated. But Christ is the first fruit, and we will follow after. Amen? I love this verse. In Psalm 95, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. In Psalm 36, verse 5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. In Nahum 1, verse 7, The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those that trust in him. I read it again. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. I want the Lord to know me because I trust in him. Hallelujah. If there's any day that we need to have a stronghold, a firm foundation, an anchor of the soul, it's today. But the Lord is good. He said he'd be that for us, even in the day of trouble. Say amen. I mean, we need to arise and shine. Arise and shine. He's our good God. And more than ever, we can demonstrate that goodness. Number three, if you're taking notes, the celebration of thanksgiving. I want you to back up to verse 1. Look at Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise. I said, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Unto our God, all ye lands. There's a celebration of thanksgiving. That means a shout of joy. Listen, your neighbors know who you are. It's time that they hear you. Glory to God. That we have something to praise the Lord about. We have something to glorify him. I share with the first service, does anybody remember when Kresge's used to be open? You remember those? I remember. Now, Kresge's obviously was a little bit older, and when I was there, they were getting close to closing. And I was in line, and there was a few people ahead of me, and there was a lady in front of me, and she began to sing. And she had a great voice, and she began to sing unto the Lord. And I'm like, so I'm just standing in line, and I close my eyes, and oh man, I'm just listening to it. It was good. And then it kind of got a little softer and quieter, and then all of a sudden I didn't hear anything. And I finally opened up my eyes, and she was gone. I was next in line, and I'm looking, there's a whole bunch of people behind me. I kind of got lost in the moment there, and it's like, well, praise the Lord, amen. But this lady changed the environment of the store. And she may not even realize she affected me. How many of us we can change the environment? When it says shout for joy, we need to shout for joy. I don't believe in heaven you're going to be quiet. Heaven's going to be a noisy place. And I believe it's kind of reciprocating. Somebody's going to praise the Lord. There's somebody else going to, I'll praise the Lord. It'll just reverberate all through heaven. Hallelujah. How many of us, they can even enjoy that now? As my mother shared before she passed on, praise doesn't stop at the ceiling. When it's true worship, it ascends to the very throne of God. And she said this, heaven's ear is open to join in with the worship. Isn't that cool? They get to see it firsthand. Ours ascend to the throne. Oh, glory to God. When we worship, it should be with gladness. We should already be stirred up. We should already be thankful. Remember, we've had a court to come down with thanksgiving. And now that we've entered that court, oh Lord, we are glorious. Now I can get some praise on. And ultimately end up in worship to kiss him, to embrace him. Every service needs to be this way. And there's no reason why it can't. If every bit of the preaching was done away with, we couldn't do this, the power quit, we could still have an intimate time with God. Amen. Hallelujah. In Psalm 81, verse 1 says, sing unto the Lord God in your strength. Make a joyful noise, O God of Jacob. Psalm 95, verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. When we know our God, we can do nothing but make some racket. Say amen. Come on. If you're in heaven and I'm in heaven and you're shouting unto God, I'm going to shout with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I often have this mental image picture of every tribe, kindred, and nation. Could you imagine, I don't know, I'll just estimate, billions of people all singing unto God, what that's going to sound like? Oh, man. Talk about power. Talk about strength. And we're all worshiping at the throne. So if you want to know how big the throne is, it'll be able to house everybody who ever gets saved. there won't be one bad seed in the house. Say amen. I've been in enough concerts, been in the nosebleeds. There won't be any of those. Glory to God. Say amen. You ex-heathens in here know what I'm talking about. I mean, God is good. Which leads me to number four, the application of thanksgiving. Today, more than ever, we need to apply what we've learned. We also need to apply thanksgiving. In Psalm 4, verse 7 says this, "You have put gladness in my heart." I mean, that's a reality. It even says this, "The corn and the wine is increased." Psalm 45, verse 16, "With gladness and rejoicing shall be brought forth as I enter the king's palace." Gratitude needs to be expressed first to our Lord Jesus. Come on. We need to offer up to our God. We also need to apply it to others. As I shared in the beginning of the service, call somebody this week. Whether you visit somebody, send somebody an email, whatever it is, I want you to apply and bring some thanksgiving. How many of you can encourage somebody today? How many believe that? And many times you may not realize it. You may make somebody's day just by being you. I don't like it when we shift into a mode because then we shift out. But we should be known by an encouragement. Would you agree to that? Then let this be. I believe Jesus would encourage you. Would you agree? If you look in Scripture, every time he brought correction, he always said this, "Here's what you're doing right. Here's where you need to work on it." And that's how it's easy to be entreated. Well, I want you to bless somebody today. I want you to bless somebody this week. I want you to look and say, you know what, I'm going to apply what I've learned. And then I'm going to look at others. I'm going to prefer them better than myself. Many times we can get stuck in a rut when we only think about us. Now, I know we have needs, and we need to pray for those. And I don't have any problem at all with that. But this week is a week of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You want to have it manifest for you? Then pray for it for somebody else. Say amen. Sometimes what you need the most, Lord, I'm going to pray for that for them. Lord, bless them. Open that door. God will always locate. And thanksgiving always locates the individual. Case in point. I got a lot of nieces and nephews when I was growing up, and our family's kind of different. We have an older group, and then we got a younger group. And by the time the younger ones were born, we were already graduated. So when we got together, there'd be little guys and us that were graduated. But we noticed that when kids forget to be thankful, especially around Christmas, they'll open up the presents and keep going to the next one. But you can always tell the child that opens up the one, looks at it, relishes it, and goes to the individual and say, "Thank you, I always wanted this." How many of us, it changes the environment? And most of the adults recognize the kid who is thankful. Would you agree? How much more our Father recognizes those who are thankful? Because many times we can all open up the same gift, but what do we do with it? When Jesus offered healing up, he spoke healing to the 10. Weren't you all cleansed? But only one came back. Are you with me? I believe he was looking for 10 to return. Because 10 needed to be thankful. But many times we take it onto ourselves. I'm glad now I'm different, not thanking the one who made me different. Hallelujah. Even the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. He listed this, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." He started a letter to the Colossians. Colossians 1, 3 and 4. "I thank my God for you in Lord Jesus." 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3. "I thank God of every mention of you." He kept these as a theme in his epistles, that he was thankful for the church and the individuals. What a great way to start off our own prayer time. Lord, I thank you for Lighthouse. I thank you for the people that are there. And then we can get particular. I thank you for them. Amen? Upon every remembrance, Lord. That's pretty good thinking. It opens up our hearts. it also allows the Holy Spirit to change us. When we're tough and we're cankered, we start to hinder things. But when we're open, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. I don't thank him for sickness and disease. I thank him that he'll see us through it. Hallelujah. I think that he'll never leave us or forsake us. The Lord is doing things today. I said the Lord is doing things today. And I'll make this statement to you. And I know Tiger will attest to this. If you'll sow into the land, even in the midst of a poverty, even in the midst of a troubled land, you'll still reap in that same year. Because God will be faithful to his word. I said God will be faithful to his word. My wife and I have put this to the test this year too. We have sowed in the land, and of the land you will reap. Regardless of this or this or this, God is able to make all grace abound. Jacob sowed in a time of a famine and still reaped that same year. The laws of the kingdom are opposite the laws of the world. We need to continue to be faithful. Continue to sow that seed. Continue, and the Lord will bring it back upon you. That's a word for somebody in here. Keep being faithful. The Lord will bring it back. He knows where you are, and he knows how to locate. Hallelujah. Just don't eat your seed. Then the only thing you got was a meal. Praise the Lord. But Thanksgiving this week. Church, let's operate in that. I thank God for you all here. I know many couldn't make it today, and I understand the weather's goofy, but I thank God for you. As we look to a new year here, I'm already past 2020. Say amen. I'm looking for a glorious new start, but I'm also looking for more souls to be saved than ever. That we are about our Father's business. There's a lot of people the Lord wants to work on and bring back into the house. There are many that have let their love grow cold. Let's continue to pray. He's able to put his hand on there. But most of all, I want to carry that cross, and I want to be what Christ wants me to be. When I read the writings, the epistles of Paul, he was a thankful God. Even though there are times he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was left for dead outside of Lystra, he was beaten with rods, stoned, all those things, shipwrecks, perils of his countrymen, perils of his own people, everywhere he went, and even the enemy buffeted him continually. Yet through all that, Christ gives me the victory. And he still had a thankful heart. If Paul, the Apostle Paul, can go through all that and still be thankful, how much more me? Hallelujah. Even in this day and age. Amen. There's so many doom and glooms today. It's time to change that. It's time to speak into that. It's time just not to accept everything come down the pipe and come against it in the name of Jesus. That's good preaching. I mean, that's what Jesus done. We're still on this planet. That means he has an opportunity to move. Glory to God. And one thing he will look for is not how big your congregation is, how well you've sung, how straight your pews are. He's going to look for faith. I said, he's going to look for faith. He says, when I come, will I find faith? Well, he's going to find it here at Lighthouse. Members in particular. Hallelujah. That we're going to exercise what we believe and stand there. I'd like to see the story change sometime. Could you imagine the 12 being on the boat? And all of a sudden, all 12 of them going, this storm we rebuke in Jesus' name. Wouldn't have been great, and the storm was calmed. Amen? I wonder how many times in Scripture God wanted that outcome to be, hey, I told you, this can be there. But one thing I did notice is that after the resurrection, they kind of got their act together. Peter got to the place where his shadow could heal. I mean, that's pretty flat, unbelievably awesome. If they just laid him out. But notice the people would lay. It says they laid him in streets and alleys, that maybe just by chance his shadow would pass by and bring healing. The people had an expectation too. So as the church, we have to step it up. If we want the expectation from the world to be greater, we have to be greater. Say amen. And I'm in this too. I'm not pointing my finger at anyone. I want to walk more in God's power than ever. Anybody with me? Lord, let's get that word in us. The faith comes by hearing. Let's operate in it and let's step out and believe God at His word. Hallelujah. I thank God more power is coming to the church. I want us to begin to thank God even in faith. Things we haven't even seen manifest is going to happen. Hallelujah. People are going to get out of wheelchairs. Hallelujah. People, blind eyes are going to be opened. Withered hands are going to be restored. The lame to walk, the blind to see. Prison doors open. And the gospel will be preached to the end of the earth. Hallelujah! That's our God today. Let's celebrate in Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time together. That, Lord Jesus, we want to be thankful people. Because, Lord, we know that usually the next step of being unthankful is unholy. So, Father, our desire is to be thankful. Truly our motivation, Lord God, to glorify You. And, Lord, to thank one another. I thank You for this church, Lord Jesus. Lord, for Your people, Lord, serving You in this time. So, Lord Jesus, work. And, Lord, let us be a model example this week to encourage others, to bless others, Lord God, as You've blessed us. And most of all, thank You for the Holy Spirit who lives deep within. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done for us, paying the price. And Father, for sending Your Son, what great love You have for us. Now, Father, I speak a blessing over this congregation. Lord, meet every need according to Your riches and glory. Go with them in strength and power. Lord, this week in their thanksgiving, Lord, let it be grand and glorious. And bring us back in that appointed time in Jesus' name. Amen.